Good morning, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. We're starting our meeting this very late hour. It's now nearly 10:30, way after the scheduled time. The reason purely is because of some confusion within Parliament. That in terms of the rules, we have been told that during committee week, there are changes in terms of committees that are in group A and committees that are in group B. But this system doesn't seem to be working, because this is not the first time. A couple of our members of this committee are in other meetings, you know, namely Honorable Tindo is at Energy, Honorable Dexter is at Energy, Honorable Lucas has got an apology. Now, this gives us a serious problem. Other members as well have been called by chairpersons in other committees. For instance, Honorable Njobo here was supposed to be sitting at sports. Sports is supposed to be sitting tomorrow. Now, it looks quite clear that this arrangement is not working. This is the third time now as this committee. When it's committee week, we struggle to get members in here because other committees are sticking to their slot in terms of the days. I've just agreed with the committee secretary here that from here onwards, we are also going to stick to Wednesday until there's a change that is effected by the authority, the parliamentary authorities. Otherwise, we are not going to subject ourselves to this problem any longer. Because it's clear that the system is not working as it is expected to work. But besides that, we do have other apologies that are related to study tours and oversights, but the secretary is going to take us through all apologies that we did receive. Can you take us through, Nota?
Good morning, honorable members. There's an apology from Honorable Sondo and Honorable Hululu. They are on a study tour with the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprise in Venezuela. There's an apology from Honorable Matebe. She's in an oversight visit with the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs. There's an apology from Honorable Schmidt. He's got a commitment in his constituency. There's an apology from Honorable Lucas. He apologized that he won't be able to attend the meeting due to prior commitments. And there's an apology from Honorable Tindo. Honorable Tindo will be available at 2 o'clock. She's attending a meeting for the Portfolio Committee on Energy. And there's an apology from Honorable Charlie. He is hospitalized. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, those are the apologies that indicate the difficulties I spoke about. And indeed... But we will go ahead, discuss the minutes, discuss the reports, even though we may not be able to adopt because we do not have the necessary and the required quorum. What we will do, firstly, you've got a revised program before you. It's not a revised, it's the third term program before you, let's discuss it and then we will adopt it to as and when we have a quorum. Let's see, Secretary, whether we cannot get some other members at 2 o'clock, even from other committees. If they can join us before 2, that is now before we adjourn, let's say at 12, half past 12, we can then adopt. And if not, then at 2. But I've got this feeling that maybe at 2 o'clock you may find nobody, because most of the committees would finish at half past 12. So let's gun for people to be here. How much quorum do we need? 7. We are now 4. So if you can get us additional 3, but only at 2. Yeah. Yes. Yes? Can you do that for us, Chriselle? That we need at least 3 to come and give us the quorum here so that we can adopt these minutes. Yeah. Yes, honourable members, then in terms of the draft program, we're going to be dealing with the minutes first of all these meetings. We will deal with the oversight visits, the Kimberley in November 2010, the Northern Cape in June 2011, and then we deal with the reports on the annual reports on entities. I haven't seen that report. Oh, is it here? Okay. And then at 2, we will be receiving a briefing from the Department of Mineral Resources on the beneficiation strategy. Did you arrange for lunch? Do we have lunch or not?
No lunch.
So we having our own lunch. Why is that so? Why is that so? Can you speak onto the mic?
Oh, there won't be lunch due to the fact that there was a memo from the House Chairperson's office indicating that we mustn't order lunch for committee meetings. We are only allowed to order lunch if there are public hearings for the whole day and if the committee is dealing with legislation.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. Yeah. Then, honorable members, in your program, you would see that. Yes. Yes. In your program, you would see that we were going to have the briefing by the Namakwa Diamond Fund Trust and on the 3rd of August. We're changing that to the 10th of August. And the strategic workshop is going to take place on the 3rd, the 4th. We should finish late on the 4th. And then we'll slip over and then travel back on the 5th. But those of us who would want to travel on the 4th would feel free, because we're planning to finish late on the 4th and then have a sleepover, and then the 5th will be the last day, mainly for us to can be able to travel back. Now, then on the 10th, which is a Wednesday, we will then have Namakwa Development Fund Trust. We were going to have the Alex Scott Development Foundation, but the process of the subpoena seems to be taking longer, and I would want the secretary here to make an appointment for me to see the speaker, because there seems to be difficulty. I don't know what is the problem. We took a resolution, it went to the chair of chairs, he called us, we had a discussion, we agreed, the matter was approved to go ahead. But now it seems to be, you know, finding difficulty in going through the office of the speaker. They must tell us if it is possible or not, so that we don't sit here with a view that we have subpoenaed people, meanwhile we have not. So they must just give us that. Because I hear now that the same legal advisors who gave us the legal advice on how to proceed are now required to give the speaker the legal advice. We have sent the whole file to both the office of the speaker and that of the chair of chairs, which contain that legal advice, which contain the resolution that we have taken. So that's why I would want a meeting to understand. Maybe the speaker himself is not aware. It's at bureaucracy level. And meanwhile, damage is continuing to occur, and people will soon undermine parliament, seriously. Because we heard that the Portfolio Committee on Sports finally gave up on their subpoena. They wanted to subpoena somebody way back last year. It dilly-dallied and it got caught up in the bureaucracy, and eventually they've since forgotten. And we're not going to forget about this one. So it's unfortunate for those officials. We're going to pursue it. And up to where the speaker tells me in my face that it's not going to happen, then I'll come and give the report back. But I doubt very much if that could be the case. It may well be that, you know, it's simply plain bureaucracy that is, you know, resulting into this bottleneck. So I'm going to seek that appointment. If I must do it in writing, my secretary in my office will then draft a letter in this regard, together with the committee secretary. We write to the speaker so that we then seek an audience with the speaker to discuss this matter. We sat with the chair of chairs, we discussed and agreed. And even when I remind him, he says, no, I long approved that, which is true. So now we only first discovered that the bottleneck is at the office of the speaker's level. And for people to take parliament seriously, they must see that when we have taken a decision, we see that decision through. Otherwise, if we don't do that, we would be a laughing stock. On the 17th of August, we are calling back Aurora and the relevant stakeholders, the department, the unions, and the Department of Labor, to get an update on the new developments and the future situation regarding the Aurora matter. Now, you would note that in your program, in between our own work, there are also some inserts that are made. For instance, Women's Parliament is on the 9th of August. And then there would be inter-legislature workshops on MDGs. I take it that these are happening here in Parliament. Okay. Then on the 24th of August, well, the MDGs are the Millennium Development Goals. The country has made a commitment through the UN resolution that it would prioritize in its work the implementation of the MDGs, in which case we have to check with the department. From time to time we engage with the department. What is it that they are doing on the MDGs? And I think maybe what we need to do, take a note, Noltan, give us the UN resolution on MDGs. What are the issues that precisely what we must look at and circulate that among members? Because there are certain key achievements that must be achieved by each country. For instance, the issue relating to poverty alleviation. What programs are there? How far have we gone? Matters relating to communicable diseases. What programs are there? How far have the department gone on those matters? But the committee secretary will distribute those, so that at that time we must know how do we participate. If it's here in Parliament, what is expected of us? If it's outside of Parliament, what is expected of us, and all of that. But then we will be conducting public hearings on the mining charter. Remember, we did the oversight on mining charter, and now it's back in house where we conclude those public hearings. And then on the 26th of August, we continue with those public hearings. And indeed, there are certain key bodies that indicated they would want to come. For instance, you would have the Chamber of Mines. They specifically said they would want to come and address Parliament on how far their members have gone in the implementation of the Mining Charter. What role have they played in the amendment of the Charter? Hence we have the amended Charter. And the same goes with the unions. They've given that indication, and other bodies. So which means we must publicize these public hearings, together with the other public hearings that we are going to have later, which I don't seem to see them here. Okay, we'll come to that. Then we get the briefing by the department on the diamond industry model. And we'll be briefing by the National Treasury on the Section 32 reports of the department, that is the 31st of August. Then we go to September. We are looking at going to Limpopo. This program is not, oh, there it is. We're looking at going to Limpopo, specifically targeting the Sekhukhune region. And we need to look at Sekhukhune, what companies are there, and as well as other regions such as Capricorn in Limpopo. There's Sekhukhune, there's Capricorn region in Limpopo. The reason purely is that Limpopo is not different much from Northern Cape. Whilst we have mining, and in the main in Limpopo, you would find in that belt of Limpopo across to northwest, we have deposit of the platinum. And we are told by people who come from that part of the country that the levels of poverty, even the research, in which case we must ask our researcher to get into business in checking for us the poverty levels in Limpopo. You look at shocking, yes. So people who have been there, I mean, it's now confirmed by Honorable Dexter. So to look at those poverty levels, to look at the mining that is taking place there, because that poverty is in the cold face of where, you know, lucrative mining operations are taking place. And it can't be, an acceptable situation. So we'll have to go in there like we've done in Northwest. And I think our being to in Northern Cape, our being to Northern Cape has assisted the people of that province. Now they are able to reap some benefits in terms of mining. Companies have begun to implement their social and labor plans. So we must do the same thing in Limpopo, both in that place So we're planning for the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for 5 days. We'll split it 2 days and 3 days in looking at different mining companies there. Then on the 14th of September, we will have public hearings on the beneficiation strategy that we are going to be briefed about. The same goes on the 16th. Oh, this is the so we must publicize this, Secretary, both these public hearings, so that people who have got a direct interest must then come and address us, including here. I think the Chamber of Mines have again indicated that they would want their individual companies to come and showcase the work that on beneficiation they've done thus far. But of course, we will listen to them and at some stage arrange a specific oversight to go and see those particular operations in those companies. How far do they take, you know, the matter of beneficiation? Is it just treatment of the commodities? Is it does it go to an extent of enhancing the value? We don't know until we are informed by those that should be coming. On the 21st of September, Honourable Members, we will be receiving a briefing from the department on the progress made thus far on the establishment of the state-owned mining company. In particular, its end state model. I don't know why here you said its model. End state model. Yes. Because there you want to see precisely what is planned. Because in our own oversight deliberations, we will be talking to our own experience of Chile and our own experience of Bolivia, and then begin to give shape. We will determine at that stage, Honourable Members, if we still need a further public hearings, particularly to look at the end state model of the state-owned mining company. For now, it might well be that the department is just busy in a mop-up exercise where they are pulling together all state stake in mining, be it in the ITC, be it in the Development Bank, be it in Eskom. I'm told Eskom owns some coal mines as well. So they might be in that exercise. But what we need to be informed about is what is the end state model envisaged in all of this? What kind of company is this? How is it going to operate? In what commodities is it going to participate? What is going to be done with the revenues that shall have been generated? Because you can't just have another state-owned entity like you have your SAAs and your Transnet, whose end state models are not defined, particularly when it comes to the revenue that is generated. And what happens if it goes into trouble? Are we going to be faced with the same situation like SAA? Every time they go into trouble, they come to the state for bailouts. Now, we need to be then interrogating that. Let's talk. Before you, Honourable Bigani, then we will be looking at our own study tour report and then determine whether we need public hearings or not. If we don't, then we simply make our recommendations. Yes, Honourable Bigani.
Chair, I'd like to contribute to this issue of the state-owned mining company to say, let it not be an issue of us just getting a model, but in the department's involvement, interaction and planning concerning that, we as a committee as well should have actually representatives that partake in whatever roundtable talks that they might be having. I'm avoiding a situation where we are going to have this model without us having any knowledge about it, and then they're going to expect us to just accept it. And in this instance, I think it's one area where we need to, it's going to have legislation involved. So it's one area where we need to be informed from the beginning and partake from the beginning as members of the committee. So whatever talks or negotiations or developments are there, we should not be forgotten as the committee. We should not always be on the receiving end, but also the initiation phase. The second point, Chairperson, when it comes to, I see there's a program there on the 9th of August for the Women's Parliament. And I've been repeatedly making a request that women in mining are not getting the relevant attention and issues are not relevantly addressed. And where possible, I made a request that we should also have sub-hearings related to issues of mining. At the time, I think we were busy with the Aurora issue in Orkney and so on. But I think under general, issues affecting women in mining are not being attended to effectively. That we perhaps create a platform, if possible, where we interact with caucus, women's caucus, and we, the women who are here in this committee, actually want to take the initiation to say there should be something created to also give a platform to issues of women in mining. Then, finally, Chair, what was the third point again? Oh, the Aurora issue. If you remember the last time we had a meeting, Chair, we had made some requests as well in relation to what is happening with the liquidator. There were newspaper reports where we were hearing that something, there's issues that were coming up concerning the liquidator. If we can get an official report in relation to that as to what is happening then. By the time we meet Aurora, then we have the correct details and not newspaper reports. Then I think, Chair, finally, I was looking at where you were saying there's reports on strategic plans of entities. I made a request the last time to the researcher where we wanted to know what is the state of the institutions supporting democracy in relation to entities, because I think there was an issue that came up with PASA. And if we can just remind the researcher that we still need that report, we haven't received anything in relation to that. And if he still wants details on that, I can explain. Because we wanted to see where do we put them in terms of where entities should be. Because I think they had a dilemma where they didn't know if they are going to fall on under mineral resources or they're going to go over to energy or what's going to happen. Just for us to understand the state of affairs in relation to that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Dexter. Those are the reports of oversights that have taken place.
Oh, sorry.
So, it's adoption of those reports.
And that's last year's one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Now, okay. Honorable Bigani, I think we did request the committee section to include women in mining on the public hearings on the mining charter. But I'm sure the secretary must have missed it out. I think you would have to insert it there on the 24th of August. Public hearings on mining charter, including women in mining. Because it needs to be specified. In the charter itself, there's a section that deals with women, both in terms of employment and in terms of ownership. So we need to then write to Sawima, let them make preparations. We will prioritize them in terms of the submission that they would want to make on the 24th of August. On the matter pertaining to PASA, you see the dilemma we have here, which I think is something that we must really plead with the committee section and the researcher, that when there is information, we must receive it in time. For instance, this one on welcome. For instance, on the PASA, there's a report here which is dated 4th of July. It's in your big envelope. It's in your big envelope. But then we received it yesterday. But then you received it today, this morning. The same goes with these PIC reports. You receive them today. It doesn't make for proper preparations. But the problem that we had now was that we're coming from a recess. Even if the documents were ready, they would have not found us here. But I don't know how best. I think it calls for creativity at the committee section. We've got computers. I mean, we are at the IT age. We've got computers. You can send as many documents as you want. Each member has got what is called a laptop. So that, you know, if we are on recess, the information must be circulated still, but using the IT mechanism. And then we find these hard copies when we come back. So I'm saying the report on PASA is there, but then e-research and the committee section have only circulated it, you know, yesterday. And on the issue of the state-owned mining company, I think we will determine on that day what is it that we would want to do really. Because there we will map out, you know, our involvement and in the grand scheme of things, because matter of changes in the mining industry are of utmost importance in the country as a whole. Yes. Welcome, Mamunga. I hope they will give you the package.
Yes.
They did, yeah. We very much appreciate your availability to come and assist us. Maybe that's a sign that one day you will come back.
You want to come back.
Well, she didn't want to leave, but then powers that be decided. Yeah, maybe we must persuade her, talk to her outside of the meeting here. But welcome. Honorable members, are there any other comments on the program? Except the ones that we have dealt with now? If not, yes, Honorable Mare?
Thank you, Chairperson. It's only on the, no, it's still far ahead, but on the 5th and the 9th of September, I'm just checking on that Friday the 9th, I would think that is the day that the floods will take place, people going back to their provinces, I suppose. Because sometimes there's difficulty with floods from Limpopo to Joburg, and Joburg to Durban, or what the case should be. Just make a note of that. To look careful at that Friday.
Nice. But we will be on oversight.
No, I'm just saying that the you must just look
oh,
at the flights
for
that Friday.
Yeah. In terms of securing flights.
Yes, for that Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
Oh well, you can spend a weekend in that province with the mining community.
That's my birthday weekend, sir.
Okay. All right. If there are no further comments, let's shelve it until we have a quorum for the adoption. All right. And when we start writing letters to the relevant people that must come. Then, honorable members, let's move on to minutes. I would want to say, relating to minutes, that we've got sets of minutes that date back to February 2011. From today, at each and every meeting, we will start the meeting with reading minutes. because your memory lane is going to be challenged to remember precisely what happened in February. And over and above this, we are also requested by the chair of chairs that let's try and not postpone minutes for too long. So I'm saying that it shouldn't be difficult for us to each and every meeting look at minutes before the meeting, whilst our memories are still fresh, adopt those minutes and move on, unless there's something, you know, serious challenge that is beyond our what you call. So I think committee section must be very ready for that, and because it's challenging. I mean, now we're going to take not less than an hour in dealing with minutes that we may not remember very well, you know, its contents. And the end result is that you pass minutes, you approve minutes, then if there is any matter that would arise, if there is any challenge that would arise, then your minutes will be binding on you, because that's what you have decided upon and that's what you are supposed to be acting upon. But be that as it may, let's then go through this last pile with a hope and a view that we will then be doing it for the last time now. The first set that we're presenting to you are the draft minutes of the 16th of February, where the matter was the briefing by the department on the impact or the analysis of the impact of the State of the Nation address by the department and on its programs and activities, and then the report that the consideration and adoption of the first term committee program, which we did. I don't know whether you have had time to read. I got the minutes since yesterday, so I had a bit of a time to read, and but I'm going to allow you to comment on areas that you would want to comment on. One comment that I have on this set of minutes is that the committee secretary must draft a letter that would go to the committee secretary management and the travel agent. Fortunately, Umamungele is here, who was part of this trip. If you look at paragraph 2.1, we lamented there that we were thanking, you know, members who traveled to the two countries and apologized for members who fell ill and during the trip. And we are saying that this had been due to the unknown climate in conditions in Bolivia. It's a matter, a very simple matter, that the travel agent should have forewarned us on. It's not just that you book a ticket and you send people across any country in the world without telling them what to expect. Firstly, what are the climatic conditions? Is it going to be winter? Is it going to be summer? So that people prepare proper clothing. But secondly, what kind of, you know, altitudes must people expect in that particular country? We had a serious challenge in Bolivia. You know, even in Chile itself, in some of the mines, we were told that we can't go. For instance, we wanted to visit Anglo-American mines, but we could not, because we were told that the altitude there is what? 3,600 meters, and therefore, as a result, with people who are not, you know, acclimatized to that condition, we will have difficulties in terms of breathing. Of course, we did go to Codelco, which is about 2,800, you know, meters, you know, what is above sea level. They are not below sea level. Now, when it came to Bolivia, we are told that when members alighted from the flights, they immediately had serious difficulties in breathing, which is something that the travel agent should have forewarned us on, so that we could have changed our minds in terms of that particular country, or we could have taken extra precautionary measures in us going there. So we need that letter to demand an explanation, why were we not warned of the conditions in Bolivia and in Chile by the travel agent, so that we are properly prepared for the exposure to those kinds of conditions. For instance, this situation is so serious that people who were hospitalized, we might have lost them, because that condition exacerbated their own ill health condition. And we can't allow that, just because the travel agent is not doing what it is supposed to do. So we want a letter, Secretary, that must be drafted, check with me, and then we send it to the management as well as to the travel agent. Or the management will take a decision to engage the travel agent themselves. But this time around, you know, it can't be business as usual. So I have that comment in as far as those minutes are concerned, because basically it was the, what you call, then on page 4 of the minutes.
Six.
Yes, ma'am.
While you are still on point 2.
Yes. 2.1. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Let me take this opportunity to thank the portfolio committee members from the secretary downwards for the treatment they gave us while we were hospitalized. Adding to what you have just said is we were not happy about the travel agency. It gave our secretary a lot of problems and troubles. You were booked in a flight in business class, and when you are in the queue getting your ticket, it's economy. And we were not given any reasons. It didn't happen once. It happened several times as we were traveling. Really, we were not happy about that, about this travel agency. And one other thing, Chairperson, I'm happy to be back home.
I'm not sure.
Whether you want to speak? Yes, Honourable
Mara. No, sorry, Chairperson. I just want to check cost-wise for South Africa. If we paid and booked business class flights over there, and they actually then shipped us to the economy class, did they reimburse the Parliament? Because there's definitely a difference in the flight ticket cost. And we were sitting at the back of the economy class, although we've been booked business class. So that must be checked out.
I'm not sure. Don't you want us to call that travel agent here?
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm going to call
him.
I will speak.
Hey? Yes.
Fine, I will be fine.
We will make sure that you are present. For instance, in terms of our own program, we can even call them on the 10th. Eh? On the 10th.
Yes.
What day is the
10th? It's a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Can you include that in the program, Altando? Invite the management of the committee section as well as, I don't know who's relevant, you know, in this case, you will know from the section, but we want management in the section and the travel agent. So we can include it in our program of the 10th. Yeah. Conclude them in the program of the 10th. We deal with, I don't know, who are these travel agent people? Who handled us in going overseas? They are now gone. Oh.
Thank you.
Then you have to run the active market.
No. After our experience. Okay. No, well then, why didn't you say this thing? Because we're cracking our skulls now to deal with the travel agent. No, what we can do is to call the management in the section, whoever that manager is. We tell him or her our experience on that day. And then we acknowledge the fact that they have acted even before we engage them. But it's an experience that we would not want replicated to other communities. Because other people would go to Bolivia unknowingly. Oh, this Harvey has been changed, so which means our concerns are correct. Yeah, our concerns are correct. But in any event, let's just invite the manager in the section to come and receive our displeasure, you know, officially. Let me scrap the travel agent then and say committee section manager. All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And then I was saying that on page 4 of these minutes, you know, bullet point 3, the department to provide the committee with mining sector strategy and beneficiation strategy. Did we receive that strategy? Yes. Can you follow up on that? Okay. Any other matter, honorable members, on those sets of minutes of the 16th February? Okay, let's move on. Hey? Sorry? Unfortunately, we still don't have quorum. Once we have additional 2 members, we will then, it's 2, 4, 5, 6. No, we only need 1. No, it's committee members, irrespective of where they come from. 6 plus 1, we're now 6. We're looking for 1. 2, 4, 6. Yes.
Just a question of clarity, because I want to know that. Are the committee 14 or 13? Because it's 50% plus 1. If we're 13, it's 7. If we're 14 members, then it should be 8. 13, okay. Now we only need 1 person.
Okay. All right.
I'm sure we're going to get that 1 person very soon. Then the other set, which I have great difficulty, 23rd of February. Firstly, we don't have the name of Tinto here. I remember she raised an issue about the special advisor to Honorable Schmidt. There was this person who was there advising Honorable Schmidt actively in the process. And then Honorable Tinto challenged that. That's why I remember that she was there. All right. That's one issue. But the other issue, which I seem to pick up as we go on, you say here the members and guests discuss the presentation received in both. And I think in other minutes it appears, members and guests. We're not discussing with guests here. Was there a stage where we allowed guests to participate? Because you say here members and guests discuss the presentation. Maybe it was not understanding what exactly. I would prefer a situation where we say members discussed it, because presenters did present. Now, the committee discussed the presentations, but then I'm not happy with that too. It's too shorthand. What was discussed, you know, and this style of layout of minutes, eh? Which report? Okay. It must be clear there. Because it would appear that minutes are not complete. Because all it says is just discussed. And so the discussions are captured here in this report. Okay? I think what we would need then to do is to amend the minutes so that we reflect that. So there would be two amendments, honorable members. It will, instead of saying the members and guests discuss the presentation, it will say the committee discuss the presentation received, and then it will have a reflection on where the deliberations took place. Then it must make reference to that report. And yes, any other comment? Yes, Honourable Mara.
You could always attach the report and refer to that and attach it to the minutes. See? Make it much easier. Yeah.
I think we it's the same concern that if somebody reads these minutes, will be found wanting. What were the deliberations? What were the resolutions? And then it means then the report will have to be attached. Okay? Any other comments?
If the secretary has problems in identifying what the issues were, you must always look at the reports of the, they're very detailed, of the, what are they called, the MG? The PMGs.
The Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Yes, the Parliamentary Monitoring Group, you must always look at their reports. They're very detailed and they seem to take us word for word. You get more information out of that. That's where I get my information from. If I've got something that I've perhaps missed or didn't understand, their minutes are very detailed. In fact, their reports are very detailed as compared to the type of reports we normally have.
Hey. Yeah, no, there's no reason for that. Even here, the deliberations are supposed to be recorded. I don't see you with that small thing that you normally use. Because sometimes when you write minutes after some time, you are unable to trace back. I'm not sure, members, are we happy with this format? Because this is the beginning of the format that you are going to come across as you go through the minutes. It's too shorthand, but I'm not sure.
Chair, there's nothing wrong with the format. It's informative. It's what the secretary puts into that format. And that's what I think we are complaining about, that the information is too brief at times. There's not enough detail to prove what we've been discussing. Otherwise, the format itself, I'm happy with it.
The reference to the report, you mean, honorable members, look at this report. Stick. You attach it to every set of minutes. That's what it says. You attach it to every set of minutes, and it's quite thick. Instead of summarizing here in the minutes, what were the deliberations about? For instance, you've captured it very well on the first set of minutes. You know, on this first set of minutes, you have basically given us the field and somebody who was not in this meeting would know, read with understanding what were the presentations, what were the discussions, what issues were discussed, not necessarily verbatim, but it, you have done quite what were the responses on what was discussed, and indeed and so forth. So and you even went further to look at what resolutions were taken by the committee. I think this should be changed, so that you just summarize what is in that report, whilst the report will be a standalone report. But the minutes must reflect, because the purpose of the minutes is the record of the deliberations of a particular meeting, and particularly what resolutions were taken in that meeting, so that we can then follow that up. I think you would have to change this set before we sign it. The third set, honourable members, would be...
Chair, before that,
yeah.
One of the other issues that are very irregular when it comes to our minutes, in most of the instances, when it's discussed at the end, we normally have what you just mentioned, resolutions and recommendations, but you find that there's inconsistency in terms of recording that, because it's also another important area, key area, that helps us determine as to how far we're progressing on issues. So it must be a standard that resolutions and recommendations of that particular meeting must reflect clearly as to what did we conclude.
Okay. The minutes of the 1st of March similar situation in terms of members and guests. You will change that and consideration of the report, but it's brief as well. It doesn't give us the reflection of the deliberations, so let's expatiate on this as well. Right, any comments, honorable members? Same thing. Okay. Then we go on to the set of 8th of March 2011. Issues for considerations was the briefing by the Geosciences Council and MINTEC. Again, the issue of guests arises, but these ones are much better as well, because you look at the briefing by the GeoCouncils, briefing by MINTEC, then when it comes to consideration of the report, it's as if we just received the briefing and then the next thing we did was simply to close the meeting. But here you are saying that these meetings, the deliberations, are going to be handled on the 16th of March due to time constraints. Let's see if on the 16th of March we spoke about this. All right, any other comments, honorable members? All right. Then come the 16th of March, but then 16th March 2010. I think you will have, it's a typing error there. Should be 16 March 2011, or am I right? Okay. Come 16 March, we're looking at PASA, and PASA in paragraph 1.2.2, financial presentation, the agency has witnessed a decrease in revenue due to the implementation of the Realty Bill. And then you go on to say, but because of the Realties Act, there have been positive changes. It can't be. There have been negative changes, because they complained that the Realties Act meant that their income bases shrunk. So it would have to be negative changes. Well, in fact, it is Royalty Act. it is royalty act, not the bill any longer. Because these effects, eh? Yes, implementation of the act, of the royalty act. Okay, you'll change that bill to act, change the positive to negative. And then again, you gave us quite a brief information. The meeting discussed the presentation received, and that's it. An invitation extended to pass again to come back on the 23rd of March. Any other comments, honorable members? Right. Then come the 23rd of March, we received the briefing from PASA on shale gas. Took us quite some time. On paragraph 2.3, he proceeded to mention that a total number of 475,697 people are employed in the mining sector. But where my worry is on the second sentence. In terms of occupational health, health issues differed from safety due to latency period. It's latency period. Then it went on and on, the discussions. And we ended. Any other comments, honorable members? I know your difficulty might be that you have not had opportunity to read through these minutes, but they are before you. Then we have a meeting on the 25th of March. Issues were briefing by the Chamber of Mines, Mining Charter, state-owned mining company, health and safety issues, beneficiation, job creation. And then there were deliberations that have taken place. On the paragraph that starts with highlighting the important role played by the mining industry, there is a sentence there that says it also attracts significant foreign savings. It's not foreign savings, it's foreign investment. Foreign investments. Right. Now, where you missed me, on 2.3, you say due to time constraint, the reports could not be considered, and the committee agreed to consider them on Wednesday, the 16th of March, 2011. And the meeting was taking place on the 25th of March, 2011. You've missed me there. Either this 16 is related to the one of the mine health and safety, which has not been reflected in the minutes, as having been dealt with, and this one you are saying it's going back to 16th of March. Can you check your facts on that? And let's correct it accordingly. I don't know whether you are referring to the 16th of April or you were referring to, because you can't discuss the minutes of 25th of March, you discuss in the on the 16th of April.
Chicken, allow me to go back just a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm a bit behind now.
All right.
But, you know, the issue of, it were the discussions that were around the shale gas saga.
Mm.
Oh, let me not call it a saga because it doesn't. But the fact that, if you remember, there were the discussions were carried over to another date.
Yes.
Now, there's hardly anything said, there's absolutely nothing said about the conclusions in relation to what the issues were of the HL gas. And I think we had quite a debate there on the possible risks involved and what approach the department is going to take in approving that, which was a build-up to the possibility of whether we're going to allow the shale gas exploration or not. If you can just look at the minutes of the...
Well, the set of minutes of the 23rd, which was precisely on shale gas.
There's absolutely nothing said in relation to that. And I think that was a very, very important discussion, which elicited concerns as to whether that type of exploration should be allowed or not. And I think some decisions were also made there as to the approaches that we need, because there were even interviews, if you remember, after that. If perhaps more detail can come into that in terms of possible recommendations and resolutions that were made and the details thereof.
Yeah, no, you're quite right, because it's the recurrent problem in all the minutes where the deliberations are not reflected. You know, for instance, in this one it says on 2.41, discussions, the committee inquired on the following issue, which the meeting discussed briefly. That is now the role of the authority of Black Economic Empowerment certifications. And the issue under discussion was shale gas. You're right. The issue under discussion was shale gas, and there was a serious engagement. That's why PASA was called back from the previous meeting. So I think you will have to go back to your records and refine, you know, that. And refine that. You know, if you look at page 2 of the same set of minutes, there was a briefing by PASA which covered quite a number of those areas and the relevant legislation. Then the discussions. The meeting went to discuss the following issues: procedures related to exploration and production rights, including time frames for applications, technical procedures, hydraulic fracturing, reporting, poverty alleviation projects, availability of water, impact on the environment in relation to the integrated. I think, yes, even here, whilst it reflects some of the issues that were raised, you would have to go back, because there are quite a number of areas that are not reflected here in terms of what obtained during the deliberations. It's too brief. It's too brief. But it's there in terms of those discussions. The other ones were referring to the Mining Qualifications Authority. Those things. But
Chair, putting those points there, it's just basically throwing out headings of the main topics that were discussed out of each presentation. It still doesn't say anything in terms of our discussions. The issue is the discussions that we deliberated on and the decisions thereof, which are key to these minutes for us to get a proper understanding and a reminder, by the way, of what were key issues to us. It doesn't talk to us at all. Because I could take those headings and go and put them on the report again, because it's just the presentations that we got. It's not saying anything. It's not talking about us and the deliberations. There's absolutely not. The minutes themselves are empty in relation to our discussions, except to say perhaps the secretary just draws out topics of those piles of presentations that we get. It still doesn't say it's minutes of a meeting. That's my argument.
Yes, no, you're quite right. I think what we we need to use the earlier suggestion that you made. I think Secretary, one is the recording of these proceedings. It's key to you, so that you are able to capture. But because now we can't go back and record what we had discussed, link up with PMG, because they are recording and they reflect precisely. And then out of that, you lift what was discussed, you lift what was resolved, so that you beef up your minutes. Otherwise, they are found wanting in this instance. But I think for future, use your own recordings so that you produce your own minutes. One day PMG won't be here, and then we'll be found wanting. Would you be so kind, PMG?
Yes, Honourable Chair, I'll be very happy to cooperate, and I'll pass on this information to my supervisors. We'd be very happy to cooperate in this regard.
Very well. Thank you. I hope you are not going to charge us.
I, Honourable Chair, personally I can't answer that question. I'll have to refer to my supervisor, but I hope there'll be no charge. I will do my best to ensure there's no charge.
Yes, but I'm just checking here because your information is publicly available, isn't it?
Honourable Chair, it's publicly available. I do believe we charge now certain organisations, commercial organisations, and certain, I believe now some of the government departments are having to pay. But I cannot, I'll have to refer to my supervisor. I think with Parliament itself, there's no charge, but I have to cross-check with my supervisors, because there have been some changes recently in PMG's policy to make PMG more sustainable.
Very well. Very well, I understand that.
But I'll do my best on behalf of the committee.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Now, if you charge the committee section, not our budget,
yeah.
The committee section will pay if they have to pay, not our budget. No. All right. Then the set we are going to now is the 13th of April, 2011. I don't know what language were you writing here in point two. Did you see that text? The chairperson tabled the committee program and informed the members that the oversight visit, which was supposed to be undertaken from 15 to 16, had to be postponed. Sine die due to the tightness of the schedule. Did you see that? What is the sine die? Sine die due to tightness. Oh, is this now what, Latin? But you must put it in brackets and explain to us what it means. Because now I took it into African slang language. Sine die, sine die. Due to, and then it lost the meaning. Okay. All right. We're not all in that academic level. We didn't do Latin. So we saw no reason of doing Latin. Then on page 3, the committee had a suspicion that the rights of the workers had been breached because the water and electricity had been switched off at those mines, hostels, not at those mines. It could be at those mines and hostels. Page 3, very first paragraph on top. At the mines and the hostels. At those mines. Yeah. All right.
And workers were living under appalling conditions, appalling AU.
Yes. Right. Then on under solidarity head, you said here, I don't know what that asterisk mark means. It says made and applied for the liquidation of Aurora. Is there something that you left out there? Made and applied. Bullet point 3. An application, all right, for the liquidation of Aurora. And your bullet point 4 says ensured that the violation of human rights was kept in the public domain. Oh yes, you're right there, kept in the public domain. Yeah, you see, this is what you like in terms of minutes. On page 4, Mr. Morotoba was not the acting deputy director general. He was the acting director general. Now, then I think we dealt with this matter of Aurora and the liquidators submitting their reports in writing before. Because if you remember, Aurora read as an oral submission with an undertaking that they will give us a written submission. Did they finally give you that? Yeah, so you should make a follow-up. They must give you that report that they tabled in Parliament in writing, but also give you an update report before the meeting, together with these liquidators. They must give us those reports before, so because those reports will be updating us on what to expect. Any other comments, honourable members, on those sets of minutes of the 13 April? All right. 20th April. Quite brief as well. It talks to members and guests. And I'm sure you know now that we were looking for... this thing of the more information available on the report, I think you will have to extract the relevant details to come to these minutes. The issue was Alex Scott Development Foundation. Just to flesh out what were the discussions and what were the resolutions. Right, any other comments, honourable members, on those minutes? All right. The other set, yes. Are you okay?
Yes. Chairperson, I just don't recall properly, but point 3, the briefing by the Department of Mineral Resources and Budget Vote 32 and the strategic plan, there was a presentation made. I'm just trying to recall, Chair, but there was an issue where a particular correction, I think, was made in detail. Let me commit myself to look for it because it's just not coming to me, but there was something that was made that were in relation to their strategic plan of what they needed to add. I think we had an issue around the financials.
Let's refresh your memory. Our computers are still fresh. They've got 3G. What is it called? 3G?
3G memory.
3G memory.
Hey, no, sir, I just know that there was something very important there around their issue where we were complaining about that report.
We want to remind you. Don't crack your scar. Yeah. The issue was around, one, the expenses on traveling. the complaint was that they have you know, budgeted too much amount for traveling. And we said we understand that they have to travel to Parliament on a weekly basis, but indeed the amount was quite, yes.
Also, if the minutes that are not detained, the ones that have gone, so most of the information is on that report, so I can take the information from that report.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Then, Chair, it goes back to the point that let there be consistency in terms of recommendations and resolutions made in every particular meeting so that what we've brought out can actually reflect directly. It might be repeated in the reports, but the minutes themselves must give a true reflection of what we discussed.
Yeah. Okay. Very well. Okay. Right. Any other comment, honourable members? All right. The set of the 25th May. The chairperson, on point two, the chairperson tabled the budget vote report and opened the floor. The committee discussed the report and gave some few inputs for the conclusion. And, you know, then that's what we are looking for. I even underlined that. What were those inputs? And what was the conclusion? Because it just goes on to talk about report be silent on whether the committee was recommending that the National Assembly approves the budget vote or not, since the member had no position on that point. Then we unanimously adopted the what you call. Then there, you are reflecting on resolutions. The committee resolved to adopt the report without recommendation, without recommending whether the House should approve budget vote 32 or not. Unanimously adopted budget vote 3 with amendments. Those are the amendments we're looking for. The committee accepted the invitation for a joint meeting on Tuesday. Yeah, and with the Portfolio Committee on Labour. But you see, you would look at the report and beef up, you know, this minute. Any other comments, honourable members? All right. Then we move on to the set of 15 June, which was chaired by Honorable Bigani, and she will remember more what was deliberated on than I can do. Here you are reflecting the discussions. Members raised the following questions, comments, and concerns. Fatalities were not only responsibility of mining houses, but also the unions and the DMR. Department and the regulatory oversight could not simply blame the mining houses, but must itself make sure that the working environment was not conducive to accidents. This has been, you see, you have got details there. I don't know whether it's because Kwaku cherish our honorable bigger. Hey?
I've got the information for all the minutes, but it's just that the other information for other minutes is on the report.
No, I'm becoming jealous here. Because it's another chairperson, then you do good work. All right. Whether the noise levels could be reduced to 85 decibels, I mean, it's quite marvelous. You're detailing the actual deliberations, what the impact of the summits had been, what mines the council partnered when they're doing the research, whether the council research health and safety impacts, how South Africa had gone in containing acid mine drainage, impact on the impact of dust on communities, you're dealing with council learned from the Chilean experience on the question of safety, noting that the target of the rate for respiratory respirable chrysotile silica was that, clarity on the point and incentives. Indeed, these were the issues. The responses are tabulated here, and then the resolutions. The council should scrutinize Mine Health and Safety Act for purposes of any amendments that could be made. MQA seemed to be doing a lot of work, including financial studies, and the council should report back to the committee when it had assessed acid mine drainage. Once the acid mine drainage has been assessed, council should research other dangerous areas like rock falls. The committee felt that the center of excellence was a priority. The council should structure the link of bonuses and so forth. So these are quite, you know, detailed minutes that you can follow what was taking place in the meeting. But it's for you, honorable members, to say whether you're satisfied or not. Any comments?
The only issue was that there was on responses, bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, the council started researching the impact of acid mine drainage in April 2011. It needed to look at the body of existing work and do laboratory tests in order to quantify the issues and assess the impact. After that, it would indicate what areas required intervention and what policies needed to be developed. We also talked about their budget, whether they have a sufficient budget or not to be able to attend to the issues of acid mine drainage. And I think one of the issues was that there wasn't an exact budget allocation actually allocated. They should look into that so that they don't encounter problems when they go into it. And the other point was that you might find that it's not only minerals that deals with that, but it's also like water and environment affairs and so on. Just that she indicates that there are other other departments that have to perhaps liaise with mineral resources on this research work of acid mine drainage. There wasn't much detail given in terms of what there is financially. So they might need to, cross-cutting, might have to look at cross-cutting issues and develop a relationship as to how do they handle the problem collectively. If you could just add that point. And I think the other important thing that keeps on coming up, Chair, which we stressed, was the under resolutions, bullet point number 9. The council agreed that it would look at the issue of the 110 decibels. That issue came up again. And it was still an issue that the department still wants to linger around the 110 decibels. And we insisted that we wanted to go to 85 because the chair had been stressing that it must be 85. And that's what the committee had also concluded as acceptable, that the noise level should go down to 8.5 decibels. So they need to come back to us in terms of what was concluded to at a summit. I think they did give a date of the summit as well. It's in September, ne? They gave a date that in September in the summit, they'll re-look into it. There were some technical issues that was discussed around it to want to make an excuse that 110 should be accepted. We insisted in that meeting that no, it's 8.5 or 85. It should just be there. Is that now 8.5 or 85? Oh, it's 85, not 8.5.
You were quite right in that meeting in insisting on this. This is a legally permissible level of exposure. They can then, you know, work on breaching the laws, you know, because that 110, they believe, it's the noise level of what noises are emitted from machinery. It's not allowed. Workers should be exposed to no more than 85 decibel in terms of noise levels. That is in terms of the conditions of the basic conditions of employment, and also in terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act. And indeed, we can't allow the industry to then breach the Occupational, you know, Health and Safety Act. Before it was called OSHA Act, I don't know what is it called now. Mm-hmm. And indeed, I mean, whether they go to a summit or not, we will insist on that, so that when they do inspection, it must be 85 decibel, not this 110. I mean, it's quite high.
The problem with that, Chair, is that they still want to insist, though it's their option. That's the perception that they bring across to us, that it's up to them type of an attitude as to whether do they stick to 110 or do they go to 85. So the fact that they also said that they're going to wait until the summit was already saying to us that they're not actually accepting what we're saying. So it remains an issue that keeps on coming up every time.
Let's ask a researcher to go into occupational health and safety and find the relevant section that will then enable us to, in follow-up here, make this follow-up with them. Did they invite the committee to the summit, or was it just a mention of the summit? No, that's fine. Let them go to their summit. It's okay. But we'll insist that the legal levels. Okay. Any other comments, honorable members? Then we'll move on to the set of the 22nd of June, when we were dealing with the Geosciences Council and strategic plans for this year. There was a briefing by the Council for Geoscience on their strat plan. It's tabulated there. There were deliberations of the committee, members raising areas for clarity and areas of concern. There were responses that were given. And indeed, but then there were no resolutions on the back, because then you move to MINTEC and their strategic plan and discussions, responses. The committee adopted both strategic plans, okay. The committee would engage further with MINTEC once members understand what is in the beneficiation strategy, and that has just been adopted by Cabinet, resolved that funding for research and development was a priority. Okay. Any other comments? All right. We move on. I think this is the last set. 28th of June. The issues for deliberations were State Diamond Trader and the regulator in terms of their strategic plans. There were briefing, there were discussions, there were responses, there were briefing by the regulator, discussions and responses, again, briefing by PASA, and responses. The committee made the following resolution. The committee researcher should research passage status as an entity and report back to the committee. The committee could not adopt the strategic plans because there was no quorum. Was that our last meeting? The 28th of June. So we could not adopt State Diamond Trader, the regulator, and PASA. So which is expected of us to adopt it now. Do we have those here?
I had a problem with, I think it was the state, who was presenting for the State Diamond Trader?
It was,
Chair, I think it's important that we note the fact that that presentation, I went back to look. But that presentation, I had a problem that in 2008-09, the same lady was acting at the time as the one who was acting presently, according to the 28th of June. And what she presented then was very similar to what she was presenting on the 28th of June. And the very presentation itself, Chair, if you had noted, I did raise a concern. There was something very wishy-washy about it in terms of us understanding the presentation and in terms of that presentation being realistic, if I can use the word realistic. I'm not saying we mustn't adopt these minutes, but I think we also then said to her that there was a lot left for us that we were questioning in terms of her presentation and the state of the state diamond trader and where they are.
Okay. Honorable Mare.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask, on the 22nd and the 28th of June, those two committee meetings, I was granted officially leave by my parliamentary leader and the chief whip, and it was submitted. Just to put it in practice, otherwise it seems apologies and I just didn't pitch, maybe, for example. If we can just put in the bracket official leave on those two meetings, please, behind my name. Thank you.
Honorable Vigani, I think the issues of the report and the cut and paste, apparently, are matters that I think we would have to deliberate with them when they come for the diamond industry strategy or model. You would see in our report that we do have that item and
in the program,
yeah. So you would see that we do have that item and I think let's interrogate everything to do with the diamonds there, and so that we can for now have the strategy in place, for now have program that they must work on, and surely when the department comes, they will come with them to brief us on that model, so that we are able to then interrogate and raise our displeasure really in terms of what kind and quality of information that gets brought here, you know, by entities. It's very important, because when we do oversight, we want to see exactly what they told us is what they are engaged with, not, you know, something when we go on the ground we don't find what is it that they basically raised. It's just that was not noted here. Maybe we'll find a way of noting in these minutes during the deliberations. Because what comes out here most prominently is what we discussed around the Kimberley process and the Maranje mine diamonds. That basically comes quite prominent. Even though in these minutes we have made a summary ruling, I don't see it reflecting here, Noltando, on this matter of the Kimberley process. You know, the response is the trader required the board members to declare the conflict of interest, blah, blah, blah. DPS are still seconding staff, trader engaged in Department of what you call. But when it comes to resolutions, you are not reflecting what we had concluded on. You just say the committee made the following resolutions. Committee researcher should research on PASA. And the committee could not adopt the strategy plans because there was no quorum. But we made, you must go back to your records. We made a concluding remark which was accepted by the meeting on the issue of Kimberley process and Miranje Diamond. All right? Okay. Honourable members, we still can't adopt, unfortunately, yes.
Can we also add that point that I mentioned earlier about PASA, that the committee made the following resolution, point 5, the committee researcher should research PASA status as an entity and report back to the committee. Also add that we requested that the researcher should give us information in terms of the what's this, institution supporting democracy, the state of institutions supporting democracy in relation to us being able to determine the status of PASA.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a concern for PASA as to where do they fall, and it's restricting some of the way they this honourable member is threatening me now with what he's doing in front of me.
Just look at the chair.
Chair, what I was trying to say is that it should be noted, because it's an issue that it was a concern for PASA not being able to really do their work effectively, and they complained that their resources will soon be drying out at some stage or the other because of the fact that they don't have anywhere where they fall.
Honorable Dexter, are you back with us at 2?
Yes, I'll be back at 2. You know, I've got a clash, so I've got to go and sign in with that other meeting. I did explain it. And then I've even got another one at 4.
But be here at 2 so that you are ready.
I'm not responding to this person who's intimidating the chair. I will be here at 2.
Okay.
I won't allow myself to be intimidated by the big party.
Okay, but we will expect you here. Right. The document on PASA, honourable members, is there from the research. Oh, honourable Ngale.
Released. I'm sure my shuttle is outside. It's supposed to be here at 12:15, and I'm still going up to pick up my luggage. We are getting to a conference in Johannesburg, a rail conference.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, honourable member. You are released. You are released. Thanks a lot for coming. All right.
We need to have 7 at 2 o'clock.
Hey?
Now, just a minute, make sure we have a quorum at 2 o'clock. And are we going to adopt some of the reports? Or some of the... Not all of them. At 2. Because some is sufficient that we can adopt them to get them off. Some is not. Are we going to manage this now at 2 o'clock? Because it's some that you say she must go back and get more detail, but some of them are fine. Are we only going to adopt those that you stated as fine? Okay.
No, that's what we will do exactly. Others that still further need further refinement will be dealt with accordingly. Now, this PASA report, we will come back to it and... yeah, I hope the 11 o'clock tea is here. Okay, let's have a break, 10-15 minutes, and then come back.